Our gospel reading for today comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
First, let me say thank you so much for inviting me to be with you in worship today. It's a great joy to be here. Luke 4 begins with the words, the chapter begins with the words, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil." Our gospel lesson that you just heard begins with the words, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country." This is Jesus coming home after a 40-day period of trial and deprivation in the desert, where he is tempted by the devil three times, and three times Jesus resists with these powerful words, "One does not live by bread alone, worship the Lord your God and serve only him, and do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus becomes the talk of the town. Luke tells us that a report about him spread through all the country, and he began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes home to Nazareth, and filled with eager anticipation, people flock to the synagogue to hear the hometown boy, to find out what the reports are all about. Jesus follows the traditional format for worship. He's offered the scroll from which to read, which he does. According to the Reverend Dr. Bob Newman, who some of you may know, Luke makes this homecoming to Nazareth a big deal, as if it may serve as a formal coming out or inauguration of Jesus' now official mission. Luke first emphasizes Jesus' long-established connection, indeed his integral part, in belonging to Nazareth and its synagogue. Back where he belongs, he repeats the roles he has always performed and fulfilled. When he stands up to read, Jesus turns to the passage which Luke quotes from the lips of Jesus, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth all those oppressed into freedom, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's special favor." Dr. Newman goes on to say that when Jesus rolls up the scroll and hands it back to the attendant and sits down, he has moved from reader to teacher. According to formal ritual and dutifully, all eyes and ears are focused upon him as the prepared, anointed, honored teacher for this Sabbath day. And when he begins to speak, it is Jesus' words and teaching that Luke wants his readers to hear, absorb, and take seriously as the good news his gospel document has to present. Today, this prophecy has now been fulfilled in your hearing. Dr. Newman says that some scholars are confident that the writer of the book of Isaiah intends to speak in the spirit of the Jubilee year, a long-established traditional observance that after seven sequences of 7 years each, or 49 years, on the 50th year, as the story goes, the Lord proclaims grace, forgiveness, and freedom for everyone. Ancient property rights were honored and restored, debts were forgiven, prisoners were released, and slaves were granted freedom. The listeners in the synagogue that day would surely be familiar with this concept of a year set aside for God's grace and favor and restoration. But Jesus uses the words from Isaiah as a mission statement, outlining the meaning and purpose of his life and work. The words Jesus chooses are not just important for what they say, but also because of their source. The origin of these words is important and deserves the attention it gets. Through the ancient words of the prophet, Jesus situates his ministry in the ongoing promise and commitment of God to the lowliest of God's servants, to those who fear God from generation to generation, to the hungry, to the people of Israel. Jesus' words are a call to real life, real people in real time. This is God in our present and in our reality. This lectionary passage today ends at verse 21. The story goes on, and it takes some twists, as I'm sure you already know. But it ends today with Jesus' brief lesson at verse 21. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Focusing our eyes, ears, minds, hearts, and spirits on this powerful statement. This is Jesus speaking to broken people in every time and every place. This is Jesus speaking to us. I recently found an unsent letter written by my mother to my father. It's undated, but it's most likely from around 1993. My mom and dad divorced about 10 years before that. The divorce was a huge surprise to mom and to us all. The sadness, anger, frustration, confusion, and hurt held us captive for many, many years. One of the ways my mom found to work through her feelings was through writing. And this particular letter was written in response to an accounting that Dad, a financial accounting that Dad sent to mom and her objections to it. She outlines the many ways he hurt her and the rest of our family, and it is painful to read. It's painful to relive that terrible time, and it's also painful because I loved my dad. I idolized my dad in so many ways. He was blessed with good looks, talent, intelligence, and tons of charisma. He was also a broken and deeply flawed human being. At the end of the 8 single-spaced, hurt-filled pages, though, my mom comes to this conclusion, and she writes, "You once told me you wanted to be my best friend. I reject that notion, but I would like to have a more comfortable speaking relationship with you. I'm certain my reactions to your silence, dishonesty, refusal, and neglect to make swift dispatch of your monetary debts to me have caused me to build up an uneasiness around you. I have compassion for you and pray for you. I know you're in God's hands no matter what. You see, I still indulge in dreaming solutions and outcomes of my own invention and forget that God has His ways which are far greater and better than any plan I could devise. I know that all are God's children, and He's available always and forever, and that His plan is so much better. The Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor, also a wonderful writer, writes about the Lord's Supper in this way. She says the minister holds up a whole loaf of bread as a reminder of the whole perfect presence of God among His people. But then that loaf is shattered, broken, torn, and the crumbs fall on the table. It's a reminder that our perfect wholeness, that peace for which we yearn and pine, is not behind us, but up ahead. Wholeness is coming, but the broken loaf reminds us that it is coming not through what we will do, but through what Jesus has already done. His brokenness is what will one day put our lives back together, whole and complete, relationships and all. Now someday, maybe I'll tell you the story of my father's genuine apology to my mom and her ability to forgive him. It was a transformational moment in their lives and in mine. That's a story for another day. Jesus layers himself and his ministry on top of ancient prophetic text, telling us its story through his life and work and liberating good news. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God and the embodied good news, who invites us to be embodied reconcilers and ambassadors of God's kingdom. And truly, as my mother said, God has His ways which are far greater and better than any plan you or I could devise. God knows that all are God's children, and He's available always and forever, and that His plan is so much better. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you through Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we go from this place on this day holy to God, we rejoice in the strength of God. We fix our eyes on the grace of Christ, and we drink deeply of the Spirit who makes us one. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen. Amen.